Good evening. Welcome to As the Worm Turns. You're tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with my favorite worms. It's Lance and Lulu. Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, everybody.
Great to be here again as we wind down the season.
Oh, man. Finally.
I know. It's feeling good. And, man, the colors are full on as you walk around town.
And
the whole range from green to...
Brilliant red.
Brilliant. Yeah, just gorgeous.
Now, I wonder, are those brilliant reds the sugar maples?
Yeah, mainly sugar maples.
Yeah, because that red is the sugar color. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm, wow.
So.
I love it when they're like multi, when it's kind of half green, half red.
Ooh. Oh, I know.
Baby. Anyway, we'll be talking probably about leaves and fall, and we invite you to join the conversation. We're live, and we are a call-in show. 970-527-4868-866, KVNF Now, and you can also email worm at kvnf.org. Hey, thanks to Abby Anderson and Rita Hannigan from Uproot, Colorado, for sitting in with us last week.
What
an amazing thing they have going. Yeah, loved learning about that. Mm-hmm. And
the gleaning project.
Yeah, you go, girls.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That was awesome.
So beautiful weather out, Lance. Before the show, you mentioned you had just a little slight frost in that one zone
of
yours.
That one part of my garden. And it was just on the ground. It was not in anything else. It's always, let's walk over here and see. I said, oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah. You
know. Does it come down the gully? Is it kind of...
No, it's actually in the garden.
Oh, huh.
And I think it's because part of it is it's like, what do I want to say? Southeast of the garden room, and that's the flow of the air. Well, there's no flow of air there because of the garden room.
Yeah, right. And so it just settles right there.
Because
it's still no place else is frozen. Mm-hmm. It's always right there. It's the first one in the fall and the last one in the spring.
Right. Yeah. Was that this morning? Because this morning was pretty chilly out.
I didn't even look this morning. It was yesterday.
Oh, it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it looks like on the weather report that next week a cold front is moving in. It didn't really indicate moisture, but pretty chilly temperatures, like daytime highs in the 30s and 40s.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I think we should just call it.
Yeah, let's move into the frost on the pumpkin zone.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right here. It looks like we're going to have in the 40s next week.
So here come the sweet collards for you.
Yep,
sweet collards, sweet kale, beets, carrots, whatever's left.
Whoa. Right. Here's, okay.
Yeah, what
then
you got?
Stand by. Looks like next Tuesday, it looks like it's going to rain. And then Wednesday, it's going to drop to 25.
Woo. Okay, there it is.
25, 23, 28.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday 25, Thursday 23.
Yeah, I can clean up those things. I've left.
You're right. Exactly.
I've left all the flowering plants because the insects have been enjoying them.
Mm-hmm. Totally on it.
Yeah. So
and there's a flicker that comes to the yard and my yard, and it's a big male flicker and makes that call, you know, and then I know it's there. And then it just goes and randomly pecks around. And pecking under the bark of the trees and, you know, having a big time.
Yeah, everybody's kind of cleaning it up.
Yeah, the cleaning crew is in.
Yeah, right.
And the lone cricket. I feel so sorry for
that's all just one?
Yeah, just one. That's what I say.
It's pretty amazing
cricket.
How that symphony comes on and it's just so loud.
I know.
And constant.
Right. And then all of a sudden you go out in the morning and it's quiet. You're going, wait, what's wrong?
Yeah. I did see a giant grasshopper today with life left in it.
There's still a few around.
There is.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, if you should check out the research station's website because they have a webinar that's happening for grasshopper management.
Oh.
And it's happening next Friday, November 1st. And if you go on their website, you can get the link for the Zoom webinar. It's happening from 11:30 to 1:30 on Friday, November 1st. So there'll be Beth Hayes is speaking there and talking about grasshopper eggs, blister beetles, all kinds of good stuff. what to.
That's the day after Halloween.
Is it a research station? Because this says the Colorado State University Extension, which is different than the research station.
But it always used to be the extension up there, didn't it?
It's through the extension office, but you can link up.
At the okay.
Yeah,
okay,
because just, Dr. Brad sent that that email over to us.
Yes, awesome.
Yeah, so that should be good. And you know, they've got something else going on this week. Let's see what Dr. Brad has in the works. This week, Thursday, which is mañana, tomorrow, it's their final workshop of the series on rootstock fruit trees. So that's happening tomorrow up at the research station.
Oh, huh.
Lots going on.
Lots. Yeah.
Good work.
Yeah.
970-527-4868-866 KVNF now. So with the colder weather, I have been watering, and probably time to gives me a few days to get my hoses wrapped up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was wrapping hoses today. The sprinklers are blown out.
Oh, good.
So that's great. But I have my cistern full of water. I had Willie bring me down a sump pump so I can pump out of the cistern.
Okay.
Good. Usually I siphon out, and then all of a sudden I went, wait a minute, I got a really good idea.
I'm going to pump that baby out.
Yeah, and then I can use the water I can water the collards, and the arugula is pretty dry, and the beets are super dry. I can, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to leave mine out. I'm draining the hoses when I water. At the end of the day, I drain all my hoses. But I need to water. I want to water the garlic once it's planted.
Oh, right. When's that happening? Is that this weekend then? Or?
I'll be planting this weekend. About 1,500 cloves is my estimate. And I'll water it in once. That's all it needs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be good. Then I can take the hoses away.
Okay. And what 1,500 cloves of what variety are you?
Well, the hard neck is Turkey Red, and the soft neck is Enchilium. And I've had that Enchilium for over 20 years.
Right.
Wow.
That's your Enchilium.
Yeah.
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 That's a good one.
Yeah. Now, is there a different technique with the hard neck versus the soft neck as far as, like, breaking those cloves apart? Or how does that go?
No. Well, what the difference between the soft neck is, the soft neck, you use all the outside cloves and maybe some of the bigger ones in the middle, but it has quite a few cloves in the middle. So I actually got a basket full of those from getting the seed off that I'll use for garlic for cooking.
Yeah.
Okay. Whereas the hard necks, they hardly have anything on the inside.
Right.
They're all those cloves, they're bigger. Yeah. It's all big cloves. There might be one or two.
Mm, okay.
And I take those off, and if they're big enough, I'll keep them. If not, it's compost.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And can you remind some of us what the depth of that should be?
Well, just any type of bowl, but these, the minimum is twice as deep as the size of the clove.
Okay.
So if you got a 1-inch clove, it's going to be 2 inches. But I guarantee they'll be twice as big or larger. Let's just say larger if you go 3 to 4 inches deep.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And the other thing about going deeper is the freezing and thawing during winter will not push
it
the clove.
Doesn't push it up.
Pushes it up to the top of the ground.
Yep.
Do you cover the top of the bed
then?
You don't cover. Do you cover, Lulu?
No, I just throw the leaves on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, you know.
So lots of people do, and that would stop the freezing and thawing and keep the moisture in and stuff. So you can do that. And I'm actually planting in rows. It seems to work better on garlic. So that's what I'm doing.
Awesome.
Rows versus?
Beds.
Oh, gotcha. All right, sounds good. Garlic's going in.
Mm-hmm.
Carrots are still coming out.
The carrots are still coming out.
At a rapid pace.
At a rapid pace. It's people are taking. I take a little bit more. So what that does is it makes me work harder, and there's less carrots for everybody.
Okay, so
slow down.
Yeah,
you're gonna run out anyway. So.
Yeah, what are you guys doing? Hoarding carrots now? Jeez, Louise.
You know,
we don't want to.
That's pretty funny.
We don't want the carrot producer to shut up shop. I mean, no.
And yeah, people want me to grow more, and I'm going, oh my God.
What's
and
up, Doc?
And I've made plants, so there's a possibility of growing more, you know. But.
Right.
But, well, it's not just the putting them in the ground and the thinning and the blah, blah, blah. Then when you go to get them to market, you have to clean them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a pain in the butt, too.
Yeah, and I'm pulling those. Not I pull them in clumps, so to speak, but I'm trimming them one at a time, and I'm scrubbing them one at a time. And we're talking 3,000 pounds of carrots.
Okay. So everyone that sees Lance's carrots at the store, remember that each one of them has been handled and groomed for you.
Process.
Yeah, that is nice about your produce, Lance, besides just tasting marvelous. So.
Right. I'm going to be drying marjoram. My marjoram, I've never had such gorgeous marjoram.
Yeah, this was the year, huh?
Yep. I can't even decide how I'm going to do it. I think I'm just going to lay it out.
Yeah.
I've got a bunch of it laid. I got a bunch of basil laid out on screens in the little place in the back, the shed where I put the dehydrator in there and then, you know, do all that kind of work in there.
Right. Hey, let's check in with Brian. He's calling from Montrose. He has a question about milkweed.
Oh, good one.
Hi, Brian.
Hi. I have some milkweed growing out on my well, as Lulu says, the health strip. But my question was, so I'm concerned about monarch butterfly populations.
Good.
And so I have a bunch of seeds to plant, and I think gonna plant them here shortly, and as far as like milkweed that's already standing, should I leave it standing or cut it off? My understanding is that the larva feed on the leaves, I'm just trying to learn about it and wondering about your insights.
Personally, I would let those plants stand until they've got the hard frost. And you know what? They're going to fall over on their own.
Okay.
Yeah, and it might provide the winter home for those guys.
Yeah. I think I'd be leaving it. What kind of milkweed? Do you have the big pink ball milkweed? Or?
It's called showy
milkweed. Yeah.
Showy milkweed.
Yep. Showy milkweed.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I think, right.
Okay.
I think I'd be leaving it. It's kind of a... probably pretty much of a mess out there.
It's not a lot, but so like as far as the larva, from what I understand is there's like different waves of butterflies that happen.
Mm-hmm.
So when do the larva actually when do they actually lay eggs and for the next generation?
Well, there was a big article in the National Geographic, and it apparently they lay eggs as they're going harvesting, as they're migrating from the south, Mexico, and their spot in Mexico. They lay all the way up till they go all the way as far north. They kind of just sort of dot the trail on the way. And apparently, they do the same thing when they come back down. But at some point, it's got to get too cold, or their plants are too dead. Or I'll see if I can find that article.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know who else might know? Amber, our fellow worm, Amber.
Yeah, she might know what's going on.
Yeah, and David Inoue, if he's listening. David,
yeah,
David knows a lot about that. I like that, putting more milkweed out there. It seems like I'm seeing a lot more of it.
I'm going to plant a bunch here shortly.
Can
The city won't like it, but
it's going to happen. The state won't like it either.
The state doesn't like it. The ranchers don't like it because it's toxic to the horses and the cows.
Seen them eat it, though. So
I have never seen them eat it either.
And, Brian, Have you seen monarchs?
I don't have them here in downtown Montrose. So.
No.
Don't have horses or cows.
Right. How about monarchs, though? Have you seen monarchs like this summer?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah, a few. Not a bunch.
Right. Uh-huh.
Did you see them all? What month was it? Did you see them at a specific time?
It was midsummer. Yeah. I saw just a few of them.
Yeah, that's when I saw them, too. Yeah.
I saw one last week.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I was surprised to see it there.
Yeah. Exciting.
So, yeah, got to get those guys back.
I like it.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing that. Yeah.
Yep. Good idea.
Yep. Okay. Well, I appreciate it.
Okay, right, Brian. Thanks for your call tonight. Good to hear from
you. Okay. All right.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Have you been listening to NPR? Down in Mexico, they're planting their native forest, but a little bit higher up. It's some type of fern. Mm-hmm. And they're planting thousands of the seedlings. And so in the years to come, because they think it's gotten too warm down in their normal thing, so it's going to be up a little bit higher.
Oh, in altitude. Yeah. That was in that article as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 Just shifting it higher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and they think in 5 to 10 years that they'll find it and have another new home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Great.
Yeah.
Good topic there.
Yeah, it's really interesting that people are finally coming around to this idea of supporting more of your native basic creatures. In your gardens, in your landscape.
Talking about pollinators and that kind of thing is really
pollinators and you know just creating more habitat.
Yeah, love it.
You know, I just think that it's a idea whose time is finally coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. And more nature.
Yeah. I just hope that stays.
I think it will.
I think
we're on the right track.
Because you keep listening to the worm, and you're going to learn all about it, and then you're going to feel guilty.
You're going to keep them on track.
Right.
Okay.
Hey, Bill is on the phone. He wants to talk to you about your time, Lance.
What time?
Hi, Bill.
Hey there. Hi, how are you doing there, Lance and you all?
Good. Hi. How about you?
Hi.
Yeah, hey, you know, I hear that, Lance, you got 3,000 pounds of carrots that you're going to scrub, and you got 1,500 shoots of garlic or whatever it is, and you go, what? How do you do that? I mean, it just insane. It doesn't make sense, you know. Do you have helpers or
no? I do this all by myself.
He's a lone wolf.
Yeah, and what did I say to some friends? You get up in the morning, you work, you go to work for people, and then you come at the end of the day and you work.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's and I'm actually know all the steps. And they're very, this is 30, 40 years of doing it. So it's very easy for me to just keep taking the steps. Yeah. And that's what, even if I have a friend that's going to come and help me plant the garlic, that's the first time I've had anybody come and help me like this. Mm-hmm. And there was one time my friend Janet Gunnison was always bringing the college kids down from Gunnison, Western State at that time. And that was a disaster. Things got so mixed up.
Oh, gosh.
I couldn't keep.
Oh, gosh.
So that's when I realized I can only have one, maybe two people in the garden with me because I can't keep track of everybody.
Yeah.
I had another group of friends, and they were helping, and they were yakking away in that one bed. And I put the bucket of every variety of carrots right in where it's laid out, marked, and they planted the whole bed in one variety. They didn't realize what they'd done until they got, because they were yakking away.
Uh-huh.
So, anyways, it's pretty much done by me or maybe one or two other people. And so that's what it is. And this is what I do. I don't have a computer, don't have a cell phone, no TV. I actually don't have a stereo. So I'm not distracted.
Right.
Me and the dog
methodical.
Walk in the Yeah, I'm just there. That's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lance, I have one more question then.
Okay.
Well, if you have no stereo, how do you listen to KVNF?
I do have a radio in the house, but not a stereo.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. And
I would be wearing my earbuds, scrubbing those carrots.
Right.
Me too. You know, I'm with you, Bill. I'd have my little headset on, and I'd have it on Hurt, and I'd be playing Led Zeppelin.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Very lovely. Yeah. And then when you get to AC/DC, you start chopping the onions instead of scrubbing the carrots.
Yeah. So this time of year, I scrub the carrots in the house listening to the radio.
Good enough.
Well, thank you for your information. I just wondered how much, time that takes, and that seems like it's an awful lot of work.
It's an awful lot, and you got to realize I've been also working almost full time doing landscaping yard work for people too. So I'm just one of those kind of people.
Yeah. Full on.
But that's slowing down.
What would you say the better tractor is, the Kubota or the John Deere?
I don't know. Well, I'll put it this way. Which one can be, you also got to consider which one can be repaired by John Deere or Kubota mechanics in the area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got that right, I guess. Yeah. You know, I wrecked a Kubota one time, and it's because I was being a stupid 15-year-old. That's a different story. I hope that you guys have a good night, and thanks for the info. All
right, too, Bill. Thanks for the call. Well,
thanks for calling.
Yeah, you have a method to your madness.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what it is. You know, you set yourself up and you just crank it out, you know. And, I don't.
The struggle this time of year is that most of us are exhausted from doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, so you really got to.
Well, you also break up things. You don't do a whole project. You do a bit of it, move on, come back to it. Yeah. Which
otherwise you'd go crazy. For me, the way my situation is, I tend to get distracted by all the different things that I could be doing, and taking care of the house and all that and everything, and feeding myself and stuff like that. Right. So.
A lot going on.
Yeah, but it's okay. I mean, what else are you going to do?
Yeah,
on TikTok or something? Not so
much. Not here,
so
thank
much.
You.
Yeah.
We got somebody else on the phone?
We do. It's Al from Grand Junction who wants to follow up about the peppers.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Hi, Al.
Hi, how y'all doing?
Good. How about yourself?
Pretty good, thanks.
Good to hear.
I did call you about my peppers withering up back in July.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down to the CSU Extension office here, and they said it was early blight. So what I did was I picked off all the affected foliage and threw it out, did not compost it.
Yeah.
And four of the plants lived. Some of them were already dead by the time I did that. And all four of them have produced some peppers. Wow. One's actually
That's
big.
Great.
Good for you. Wow.
So the early blight was the issue.
Okay. Now, did they make recommendations of how long you can have to go before you can plant peppers there again? And the reason why is in potatoes, they get a blight too, but you only grow potatoes once in that soil for 3 years. Every third year. So I'm just curious if they gave you any recommendations for that.
You know, they might have, but that was 3 months ago.
I was hoping for some information so I could have it. Yeah, but I suspect it's in the nightshade family plant, so I would suspect you wouldn't want to grow any peppers there or tomatoes or potatoes for 3 years in that particular soil.
So how far away would you have to plant the next year?
I suspect 10, 15 feet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm losing that garden plot next year, and we'll be moving into a very sunny and very hot location with lots of sand in it, backed up by windows.
Okay.
So tons of reflection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, you're going to need to...
I guess it could be.
Yeah. Organic matter and mulch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to mulch in that situation. Yeah, keep that soil cool.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's going to get hot like when you burn your feet at the beach.
Yeah.
I've done that.
Yeah, me too. Who hasn't, exactly. Right? So,
I'm guessing work the compost into the sand?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you can't do it now or when you get there, do it this fall.
Yeah, I was figuring on doing it this fall and let it sit all winter.
Yep.
Yeah, good idea.
Think it ought to be watered all winter?
Just once. Once for sure when you first get it all mixed up. If you don't have water, the bacteria can't work.
So would it be good to keep watering it through the winter?
If it's a dry winter, yes. Grand Junction's known for dry winters.
And that spot will definitely dry out good. Okay. We have not had a frost here yet.
Not yet, huh?
Okay.
Yeah.
I have never seen a year like this. My garden is still growing.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just, the length of the season, is that what you're talking about, Al?
Well, this year, mm-hmm. I mean, it's always been gone by now. Yeah. Everything has been picked. And even the tomatoes and peppers are still growing.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, mine are too. Even mine in my little garden. Yep.
And you're up by Paonia somewhere?
Yeah, I'm in Paonia. I'm downtown. I'm in the town, the grid of Paonia. Yeah.
Yep. Have you all frosted up there yet?
Not really, no.
Not so much. The people down by the creeks and in the real low-lying spots have been nipped a tiny bit.
Yeah.
But.
So have you all ever seen a fall like this warm?
Well, what I'll say is the latest I picked raspberries was October 24th.
Oh.
And it's going to happen again.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Yes.
So.
Yeah, right.
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Wow, that's exciting.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen it hang like this too, but my yard's protected, and so you know, it's an anomaly.
Right.
It's different.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Any suggestions on crops for that hot garden next year?
Cactus.
Yeah.
Corn, squash, cucumbers. Melons,
yeah,
you know, and you can try some peppers. You might have to shade the peppers. Mm-hmm. And as far as tomatoes go, they don't like extreme heat. So if you want to get them, we've mentioned it in the past, you'll have to, in the morning when it's still cool, you shake the whole plant. And that's how
the pollen goes
through the pollen tube to pollinate.
Yep.
So you got to do it. And it's. You know, we think of them as not wanting cold, which is below 60, 65 for them, but they also don't like it above 90, 95.
Yeah.
So you got to do it in the cool of the day.
Yeah. And they don't like big mood swings. They don't like it when the temperature goes way hot and then way cool, which it can do in a desert.
In the desert.
So they don't like that either.
But if he puts them up against that wall.
He'll be fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You could even give him a little shade.
They'll be fine.
That's kind of exciting.
A whole
new space. And I know. Yeah. Building the soil exciting. And new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be good fun.
Well, I was thinking of putting an automated drip system in.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, if I'm gone for a day, it could all dry out.
Yeah.
Right. Like
well, no, that's the truth. True that. Mm-hmm. Yep. If you're going to do that, when we went Worms on the Road to Zephyros, they had that scene going, and they spent more money on their filter system than anything, because that's where you're going to run into trouble with a little drip system.
Yeah.
Is keeping your water clean.
I can run domestic water to it.
Okay.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Then that's fine.
Okay.
It's kind of exciting getting to the winter and being able to think of all this stuff.
Yeah.
I love
it. Yeah, it's going to be a big change.
Right. Well, I'm glad your peppers worked out, too. You ended the season well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Finally figured out what it was.
Good for you.
Got something going.
Okay.
Good for you. Good for you.
We appreciate your call, Al. Thanks for listening from Grand Junction. Good to talk to you.
Oh, you betcha.
All right, thanks.
I know the advice.
Yeah.
All right. Bye. Talk to you soon. Take care. Good deal. Hey, Amber's calling to follow up on the Monarchs.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, Amber.
Hello there. Hi. I saw the bat signal, so I had to call. the interesting thing that you should bring that up on the show, I saw a monarch larvae today.
Oh, wow.
On some milkweed. Like, all my showy milkweed is all dried up, but this is a different type of milkweed, and I can't even remember what it is, but it's still green, and there's this huge, I just bent it into Wormacavia NF. I don't know if you can see the picture, it's a large caterpillar, probably like 2 inches long with red and yellow.
They're real pretty.
Little tiny stripes. Yeah, really pretty. Mm-hmm. It was eating milkweed today. So
there we go. Beautiful.
Diversifying your milkweed from just showy milkweed would be important. I don't know if that one will survive, if it's mm-hmm. going to freeze on Tuesday, but
yeah. It's not interesting world. It's not
out there.
It's not world milkweed.
It could be. I don't know which one it is, but I know it's not the showy milkweed.
No.
Yeah. So wild, that was but yes,
pretty
I would
exciting
leave
to find.
All of your milkweed standing,
mm-hmm.
just in case.
All right, Brian. I hope you're listening down in Montrose.
Yeah, leave it standing.
Yeah, I'm going to send this picture to Adam, Amber, and he can attach that to the podcast for this week because that's beautiful.
Beautiful.
It was wild to come across it today.
Right, October 23rd.
Great timing, honestly.
Yeah.
Right, so that's that. Mine's not coming in, my picture.
Here's Amber's picture.
Oh, yeah, there
picture.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yep, there they are. Cool. I think that's great. I'm wondering if it'll make it.
Sure, it'll find some way to get into the leaf mold someplace and survive the winter.
Hey, Amber, have you had a frost there from the creek?
No, not yet.
Oh,
I still have pepper plants that are producing.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm shocked, honestly. I just left them to see how long it would last. And this is,
there they are.
Oh, there they are.
Surprise.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. I cut down my milkweed because it had all those aphids. But I made sure that there weren't any of the little dangly
lace wings. Yeah.
Because they just sort of I just cut them down because it was too nasty, so I got rid of them.
Yeah, agreed. They're kind of nasty, but
yeah,
I don't know. This kind of sold me that I should keep them standing when I saw this today.
Right? So. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, the other milkweed that I have in the yard, is fine, so I'm going to look at it. And some of the plants are still green, and it's it's the tuberosa one,
mm-hmm.
the one that goes orange, and it's more of a native to this area.
So you can check it out.
So I'm going to check.
So I guess they're migrating. They migrate through Colorado in the early spring and like in September, October even.
Oh,
so
uh-huh.
they're leaving and they're going to California for winter.
California
so
or Mexico,
they could be around
wherever
still,
they're
the
going
last
to go.
Of them.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think I like your advice of diversity, and I hope Brian in Montrose is listening because that may be the ticket for him.
Yeah.
Lots of kinds of milkweed.
Yep.
Okay.
Awesome. Thanks for answering the bat call. Love to count on you.
Right,
thanks,
bye-bye.
Amber.
Nice work, Amber. There
okay.
they are. Yep.
Bye.
So there
bye.
You have it. Bye. There you have it.
There you have it.
Yeah, right there.
They're
right,
out there.
They're out there.
I like it. All right, we're going to take a quick break and hear from a couple underwriters, and we'll be right back. are back. You're listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF. I'm Jill Spears, your host, here with Lance and Lulu tonight. Had some great calls in that first half hour. And
that's good.
Love it.
And the picture of the monarch larvas on the screen.
Awesome. Great.
So check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this bird note thing, too, that we just listened to, that's it's exactly what we're talking about. You've got to... You don't just go, oh, bring back... You got to go for the big picture. You can't just support the birds and think you're supporting the birds. You got, you can keep your cat inside, but you've got to have the vegetation. And the one thing they really like is water. And if you just have... I know there's a... A lot of people who get the heebie-jeebies about having a bird bath because you can breed mosquitoes or a koi pond or whatever. But if you have a little sprinkler thing going, they go right in and start flapping and bathing and having a big time.
They work the edge of my sprinklers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And water's so important for the bees, too.
The bees and the wasps. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to go for – you got to realize that you're affecting the whole picture.
Right. Birds, bees, monarch butterflies.
Yeah, you got to go for
it. The whole system.
Yeah, the whole system has to be up and running for it to function properly and for it to thrive. And diversity is the key. Yep. Diversity is a huge part of the whole story. So
it sure is.
You know, and monoculture, I mean, I don't care if it's what you're monoculturing, it's still a monoculture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, 527-486-8866, KVNF now, and you can email worm at kvnf.org. There's still some stuff in the ground. I mean, you're getting your carrots out. What do you have in the ground?
I got my list here.
Okay.
Okay. Well, of course, there's carrots, beets, daikons, kohlrabi, cabbage, kale, chard, finocchio, spinach, lettuce, cilantro, green onions, peas, celery, and parsley. And I just got the last of potatoes out yesterday. So there's actually still quite a lot.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. Oh, God.
I'm speechless.
Right. Yeah, and they're doing really good. And I stayed on top of the leaf miner, which gets into the chard and the spinach. And I sprayed the spinosad about...
It can be in the beets, too.
And the beets. Beet greens, the Swiss chard, and the spinach.
Yeah.
And I sprayed about every 3 to 4 days.
Oh.
In between the waterings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm done. There's still... You know, I was harvesting spinach yesterday and looking at the underside. There's still a few white eggs out there.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm done.
And what about your kale, your aphid crop?
Yeah. I have the Sutherland kale, which I eat all summer long, and then I just leave it because the aphids really like it in the fall. And all the aphids go to those guys, and they don't touch the fall kale, the curly kale, and the cabbage. And it got so bad that I finally pulled it out the other day.
It trapped so many of them?
Yeah, it trapped so many that it was actually killing the Sutherland kale.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. That's
and
effective.
That's the job I wanted.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right.
So.
Right. Wow.
I like it. And so you still have kale and cabbage.
Yes.
Your cabbage is still out there.
It's always, I always worry that I'm not going to get the cabbage. But they've come in doing really.
But then all of a sudden there they are.
There. Yeah. Now, the late flat Dutch, they're not as big, but I got them.
Uh-huh.
You know, but the Danish ball heads, they're a little bit bigger. And then they have in the past. So I got those too. And those will store clear into April.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's really great storage.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it. Nasturtium harvested, potatoes harvested, and Lulu, you're ready to harvest apples.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm going to get to the apples, but first I'm going to dry marjoram.
Oh, right, your great marjoram crop.
Yeah, I'm going to get that going. I might just lay it on the trays and put it in the dehydrator at, you know, 85 or 95 degrees and let it go.
Mm-hmm.
See if I can hurry it along a little bit without hurting it. And then I'll do parsley. I have a lot of parsley. Big, beautiful clumps. Mm. So dry marjoram, dry parsley, maybe hang a little oregano. I've got some basil hanging, basil on the racks. What else? Parsley, sage. Oh, gosh, I could do the sage, but somehow it always just ends up hanging out there. And you know,
I love it when stuff's hanging everywhere.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. You've got that going on, don't you, Lance? Moving things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then the bronze fennel. I love those seeds. Nobody else does, though. It's weird. So I don't need a lot of them, but yeah.
Bronze. Fennel seed's really good.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like to put it in bread. I like to, you know, I like to
You can make a tea with it.
Yeah, you can eat it. You can drink it. You can, it makes a great little tea.
And it's easy to make. You just have to figure out how strong you want it, because it can be.
Because it can get overpowering.
It can get really strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. But then in real life, even if it does, that's why God invented honey.
There you go.
You just put a little extra in there and you're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
All right, so everything's drying and going at it, and you're going to be making pesto and...
Yes, I am.
And then transplanting. You've still got some transplanting to do?
Oh, yeah, I could.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to bring up, I mentioned it a while ago, this is now the time to transplant peonies.
It's a really good idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you go in there, you can see those little eye things.
The little eyes on the side.
Yeah.
And you need to plant those eyes at the depth they're at right now. Mm-hmm. So they do need an inch or two below the ground, something like that. But you just look when you just go to dig it, and you can see those eyes. Are you'll the see next them. Year's shoots? They're right there, and
right, pretty obvious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll see them, and you don't want to bury them deep. You just want them the same.
Yeah, the same.
Let them come on their.
Yeah, cut the tops off, dig around, and they'll be fine. They're very, extremely hardy.
Sounds like a lot of work to do this weekend. I mean, really, if it's going to be so cold next week, you want to get some of that stuff in the ground.
And it said it was going to get real cold. I mean, that's freeze the ground up cold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I better get those apples off that tree.
Right. You could use a clean team.
I could. Yeah. Well, we'll do it. Mm-hmm. It. You know, it'll happen.
And Lance, you can still put plant cover crops, some winter grains.
Yes, you can still plant cover crops. At this point, it's going to be rye or any of your winter grains, but rye is generally the one that's the most deep-rooted stuff. And then you might put some vetch or Auster and winter pea. It's also can be used. And there are probably some clovers. And any winter grain can be planted now. You know, wheat, rye... spelt, acorn, if you so desire. These winter grains. It's sort of a funny name. You're just planting them in the fall, and they come up, and then they just stay there all winter. Then spring, they start growing again, and they can be relatively drought tolerant. You can almost dryland farm them. You know, so you water them once, maybe twice in the fall, and maybe once in the spring, early summer, and that's really all the water they need to produce a crop.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'd like to get some of that in the ground.
Yeah, and then you harvest them in July, usually around July in this area.
Okay, so keeping it rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we've got an email here from John Benjamin about milkweed, and he says, very easy to gather and germinate in the spring around early to mid-April after you've kept it cold for a month or so in the winter. We get about 85% germination with the common milkweed. Syriac?
I don't know those names. Sorry.
Syriac.
Where's my weeds of the West?
Yeah, right?
It's there. No, your library's not here today. But thank you, John.
So what he's saying, cold stratifying.
Yeah, cold stratifying.
Yeah. And that makes sense. Yeah.
Absolutely. I leave all my seeds out in the chicken palace.
Uh-huh.
And they have no choice.
Store in a cool, dry place.
Yeah. because the chickens are in a different spot altogether. Mm-hmm. They generate, their little bodies generate a lot of heat,
mm-hmm.
the chickens. But
it's warm out there.
Yeah, but the seeds are just, yeah, mm-hmm. they just hang. And in the chicken palace and in the other house too.
Mm-hmm.
The barn, shed, the shed, barn, whatever yeah. it is, shack out back.
Yeah, and a lot of your native plant seeds, they want that cold stratification. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's what it is here.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, I mean, right? How did those seeds figure that out? You know? It was like, you know, now they're going to freeze. And they're going, na 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 na, I needed to freeze.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
It's just amazing.
Well, let's talk a little bit about leaves, because they're all coming off the trees, mm-hmm. and some tips on how to gather those. Lulu, you put tarps out to catch leaves.
Yeah, well, you know, I've got the monster maples out in the back, and I just put a tarp down, and it works great. I have this great big tarp,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
and they fall in there, and you gather the corners of the tarp up. I can hardly drag it once it's got leaves in it. And then you just spew them around.
Right.
And I have lots and lots of leaves in the front right now as well. Mm-hmm. But those are for Halloween.
Oh, you've got to have leaves.
So they're staying mm-hmm. right where they are for now. And then I'll rake them up off the sidewalk and the front steps and the whole thing. And they'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'll rake them onto a tarp and haul them back there.
Mm-hmm. Mow them. You mow them.
I'll mow my 800 square feet of grass, or whatever it is. It's not much. Is super super long right now, so I'll when the leaves get on it, I probably will just mow it all.
Yeah.
And you know, I never collect the cuttings. I just let them stay.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. it's a great thing. It works really well. It's a great way to manage your leaves. My father used to do that in Connecticut, where you can imagine there's
a lot of
leaves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he used to just mow them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we always had a nice yard, you know, and
mm-hmm.
yeah.
like that. So it works. You can rake them around your shrubs and stuff, too.
Yeah.
shrubs. You can rake them up and put them around the stuff, but you don't. You know, they blow around and things, but it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do you, well, you don't have your mulberry trees anymore, so what's
I don't rake leaves in my yard.
Yeah.
But I go to different people's place. And I go there with my old 66 Dodge, and I have my 7x7 burlap tarps.
There you go.
And I just rake them with the wind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good advice.
Leaves really tell you which way the wind's blowing. And I can get 10 tarpfuls in that truck.
Oh, wow.
The leaves don't pack when they're dry, so they fill up, and then I just go home and back the truck up into
back the
van.
Back the truck up and
just rake it right back out into where I'm going to store it.
Right.
And I get about 8 truckloads, no more than that. Last year I got too many, and I ended up just using them on – I have some – pine trees and oak trees, dry land planted.
Mm-hmm.
I just put them out there around those trees.
Mm-hmm. Kind of mulched it in.
Yeah, mulched mm-hmm. it in, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, our friend Duna from Norwood is on the phone. Hi, Duna.
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Hi, Duna. Good. How about you?
Good. I just wanted to say how much I appreciate that you put out for information that setting out water is the most important for birds. I don't put out feeders or hummingbird nectar thingies or anything, but I have 3 different little places for the big birds come to one, and the little birds come to the other because the big birds scare off the little birds. Just water. And I had 2 turtle doves that copulated in a tree. And after they left, I had lazuli bunting, which I've never seen here before.
Wow.
It's just amazing. And then the little birds come to the little water doo-wah next to the house. because they feel safer there.
Yep.
And I just think that's just really good advice for everybody out mm-hmm. there. Put water out for, and the chipmunks and squirrels and all of our little
yeah.
wildlife.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So I'm curious, what is the depth of the water for the different size birds?
I am just using, you know, those big red rain barrels mm-hmm. that yeah. have a big black lid on them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been using those lids upside down.
Right.
And then one little place where the little birds are coming, it's an upside down Danish pastry container that I put into a cut
okay,
off
good.
Steel drum.
Yeah.
A steel drum cut off. Okay. So it's very shallow.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and
point.
I even seen the big birds in the middle of the summer come to the shallow water to take their little bathing.
Yep.
Nice.
So it's really pretty.
Great.
Yeah, awesome.
I love that, yeah. that the water
right.
is actually attracting
and
the
I
birds.
And I appreciate Lance's advice about peonies. I just dug mine up and I'm inspecting them right now.
Okay,
good.
Great.
Good on you.
All right, Duna.
Nice work, Duna.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks
you guys
for sharing.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You too.
Yeah.
Thanks, Duna.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That just popped to mind when you said digging peonies. I saw David from Zephyr Rose, and the next big project there is digging the dahlias. So,
oh, wow.
So if you've got dahlias, this is the time to dig them up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, mm-hmm. that's big at Zephyr
mm-hmm.
Rose.
Yeah.
They have the most amazing dahlias
mm-hmm. yeah.
I've ever seen in my
I
life.
Saw one that was the size of a dinner plate almost.
Holy
I mean, it was
cow.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Pretty amazing. If you mm-hmm. ever have a chance to pick up a Zephyros bouquet of flowers, you will
you should probably
not
do
be
it.
Disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the flower grower peoples are really good at
they
it.
They are.
Yeah.
It's they
just spectacular.
Are. Yeah. yeah. And we're going to miss, well, Arbol Market will be, have their winter market later
mm-hmm. yep.
happening, but mm-hmm. that's closed down in the park for now. And yeah, the season's just winding up.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lulu's getting ready for Halloween.
I know. I'm so excited. I just
she grew her candy corn. It was one of her best crops
uh-huh.
this year.
Did you do anything with that delicata pumpkin?
The delicata pumpkin is anchoring down the harvest table.
Okay.
Which is still open. And when I do something, I'll share it with you
okay.
guys. I'll make sure to share it.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to check it out.
Yeah.
yeah. Maybe it'll just be soft inside and I could just, well, I have no idea. If it's soft, I don't know.
I don't
okay.
know. It's
yeah.
going to be a creative process for
right.
sure.
Mm-hmm. Right,
right. Let's see. I was going to ask you, Lance, what was I going to ask you?
Dun, 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 dun,
oh,
dun.
The food, your storage pit. When, what's the timing of that?
Oh,
stuff so much in the ground.
Yeah, it's got to get cold, but that's, you know, consistently cold. This is just a cold snap next week.
Right.
But it'd probably be the first week of November, maybe the second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
and that's going to be our, with Stefano, who's been filming and made the video, where
mm-hmm.
he's going to come up and watch me do that.
Oh, good.
So that will actually be on video or film, whatever uh-huh. you want to call it. So.
A YouTube
yeah.
Video of how
mm-hmm.
you go about building that storage pit.
Yeah. yeah.
Oh, good. That'll be
oh,
great.
Oh, that'll be great.
So that
that's
will
a
be
good
there
one.
And stuff. So I better get my wheat thresh because I need the straw for the storage pit. You know?
Yeah, see, that's what happens. You start going, okay, I got to do this, but I have to do that first because if I don't do it now, I can. It,
yeah.
it'll blah, 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 blah.
It's those steps you were talking
yeah.
about.
All those
yeah.
steps.
Yeah.
So the last watering,
mm-hmm.
I meant that the fruit trees, what else? Grapevines, raspberries, asparagus, and the other perennials. So I'm almost done with that.
Oh, good deal.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing a little bit of soil prep for spring planting as
you
well.
You can do soil prep now, and I picked up one of the Rodale books just to look at about prepping gardens for the winter,
mm-hmm.
and that's and they were calling it sheet composting. And just layering your different stuff right on the bed that you're going to do it with some manure, if you so desire, if you have it. And maybe you got the backyard compost pile with the grass cuttings and leaves and the kitchen scraps in back. Mm-hmm. Take all that out, even though it's not composted, and layer it in there. And like I said, put some manure, an inch or two of manure in there, and turn that into the soil. You can use a shovel. You can use a rototiller. And you, if the ground's dry, you could go ahead and water it once just to add that. So there's some water there for the soil life. And come spring, that will be completely broken down.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And there might be some core stuff that when you rake the bed out, it goes into the compost pile for the next year.
Right. That's kind of what Al's going to be doing up there in Junction.
Yep.
All right.
It all works itself out.
It
does.
Yeah.
I love it. It's been a good year, and
and you just keep going, and you keep working, and then when the winter decide I'm done, you're done, and you pick it up again in the spring.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Ta-da!
I like the cycle of it.
I do too. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks to all of our callers tonight, and thanks to Adam, our engineer, who always sits in with us every week. And we'll be back next Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And
God willing, and a creek don't rise.
There you go.
And thanks for all the calls. That was fun.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thanks, you guys.
And thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Be kind.
Be kind. Lead us too far. We wander, love, sweet voices calling yonder. Shine, little over, glimmer, glimmer. Hey there, don't get dimmer, dimmer. Light the path.